Welcome to episode 262 of After the Credits. I'm your co-host, Brian Antunes, joined today by fellow co-host
Dale McGladry.
We are here in Coquitlam Studio. Can't be Studio 42.
No, it can't be Studio 42.
It's, I don't know, Coquitlam Studio. I can't remember what we called it last time. Was it the Mountain? The Mountain
Studio? It could be. I mean, I don't know if this is too old, but I would call it the Twilight Studio or something similar.
Nice. I like it. I like it a lot. Well, you know, there was a whole big thing with Twilight. Not just recently, everybody's like, you mean, because I guess they're doing a new Batman movie with Robert Pattinson. The deal is that Robert Pattinson is going to star. And everybody was like, you mean the guy that was in Twilight? And I'm like, okay, really? That was how many years ago? Not like a decade ago.
Yep.
If not longer. And he has made quite a number of really good movies in between.
There's still the haters out there for sure.
People just get over it already. Twilight is great.
Yep.
You may have noticed already that we are Colleen-less once more. We hope you get well soon.
Oh, God.
She's fighting the plague from the sounds of it.
Yeah, I know a couple people that are in that situation, sadly.
That sucks.
Stay healthy, people.
Yes.
Like, eat well, sleep well.
Yeah, and just because it's sunny out doesn't mean that you're free from viruses. You can still get sick.
Sadly.
Yeah. But we're here to talk June preview. I can't believe it's already June.
I'm here to avoid unpacking. And oh, I can't unpacking. Believe I'm still got crap in boxes.
You know, I remember like the last time we moved, because I think I mentioned it last time. I'm like anal. I just wanted to get rid of boxes. That stuff that stayed in boxes for longer than a week literally just went to the garbage.
I should maybe do that. My problem is all of the easy unpacking is done. Now I have to start making decisions again, and it's getting kind of depressing.
No, that's...
And I have to go and buy stuff, and there's nothing like having a deadline that you can't change to focus your attention.
Yes.
And now that all the other stuff that I put aside has come back, I'm back to like, I don't know what to do next. There's so much stuff.
The hardest thing I did when we moved was get rid of books.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That was the hardest thing because we had cut down even before we moved. And then when we moved and I realized how much little space I had, like I have to cull more. What can I cull? It was really sad.
I am in that situation with books, and I am in that situation with, they're a little bit more than tchotchkes, but they're not quite huge sentimental value, but I have like stuff that I've collected. Like the bottle of from the B positive bottle.
Oh,
those
bottle.
What was that bottle from Breaker something?
I know the movie. I have the same bottle.
Yeah, like I'm looking at that going, do I have the space for this? I don't want to get rid of it because it's like cool memories and everything, but...
I still have it.
Try and find a good home for it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, but let's talk some movies.
Yeah, we're talking movies.
And we're kicking right into June 7th with...
Not a lot of movies because the big, huge tent poles.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Not tent poles.
They're kind of eating up. They eat up the week, right? So one opens and then nothing else really opens for a week. And
yeah, or it's complete, like a lot of documentaries.
Exactly.
This month.
Stuff that they're sort of just...
Alternative.
Exactly. Dark Phoenix. I have to say, I am so thrilled. I won't feel guilty watching this.
Why?
Because it's not directed by what's his face.
Oh.
Is it really bad?
No, it's not.
Because I'm at the point now where there's just a bunch of directors that I'm like, I just don't want to support you for personal reasons.
Yeah, me too.
And this franchise is like, I love the X-Men movies. And I'm just like so thrilled. So thrilled.
I can't think of his name right now either. But I'm with you. No. And it's like... It's not even like he was an especially great director. I mean, definitely he knew how to do a film and come in and produce something that was like blockbusterable. But I mean, he was not the only one out there and he was a dick and baggage.
So there we go.
But obviously he had, anyway.
I'm super thrilled for Dark Phoenix because I think it looks great. and I'm all for Sophie Turner, and I'm all for any movie that puts Jessica Chastain and James McAvoy together. Like, the more these two work together, the better for me, because I just love seeing them together.
I'm not as, you know, I'm not the big McAvoy fan you are, Jessica Chastain is...
She's fabulous.
Very, very good. Like, her range for characters is amazing. I agree.
And they're going to be together in It later this year, too.
Oh, well, that won't be one I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah. Dan and I will go and see that. So, I mean, this looks really interesting. I guess it's like an origin story for Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
We've seen the character already on the big screen in one of the previous movies.
Sort of. I mean, the...
it was in the really shitty X-Men. Because it was, I think, X-Men 3.
It was basically the end of the last movie they did in the franchise.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the comic, but I understand that's at least the origin story of Dark Phoenix.
Okay.
One of the comics. And this origin story seems a bit different. We need a comic book person.
Right?
Or maybe we don't.
I mean, get too far into the weeds.
Well, it's like I always, not having only loosely read the comics, I'm happy for whatever movie I get, and I'm not too tied to a particular
plot
line, as long as I enjoy it.
But that's it.
I get when you become invested in a storyline.
Yeah, and you have an idea of what it should or does look like. And
but then when you're talking about it, I was listening to a podcast with a writer for Spider-Man. He did one of the well-received series, and he talked about getting feedback from fans, and he said, I could tell by what they were suggesting for my Spider-Man what era of Spider-Man they had read.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really good.
I get that.
Yeah.
It's hard.
But I mean, I think this one looks great.
My only problem, I'm having a hard time getting excited about any superhero movie. Mm. It's like... It used to be, if it was any kind of a superhero movie, I was excited because it was a superhero movie because there weren't a lot of them.
Yes.
Now it's...
It seems like all the major releases are...
It's not that I'm tired of them. I'm actually not tired of them. It's just that, wow, we have so many of them. I can be discriminating. Like,
that's it.
I'm not going just because. It's like, it's got to be more than just a superhero movie.
That's it. I always found that there was always a little bit more to the X-Men movies, and it might just be me reading into it, because they were always kind of my favorite of the bunch. They were more, I felt, at least for my liking, they were more character-driven than... I mean, there was still big action, but they always felt like they were a little more invested in their characters.
I found them more variable than a lot of franchises.
That too.
But you're absolutely right. The X-Men had a much bigger focus on character, in my opinion, as well. Certainly than some of the Avenger ones, where they have such a big cast, they can't.
Yeah, it's hard to invest any time in with one specific person, unless you're having an entire movie about that one character.
Yeah. And even then, sometimes they're still not doing... if we could get into a discussion about Thor. Don't know what to do with that character. Anyway, I am cautiously optimistic about Dark Phoenix. I know that I will see it at some point. I'm not quite sure. I don't have that kind of like can't wait to see it feeling.
I do.
But I definitely, I'm looking at the cast here, and I'm on the fence about Sophie Turner, but like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence and Jessica Chastain and McAvoy and...
I'm curious about Sophie Turner because, I mean, she's shown, I think, quite a bit of range on Game of Thrones within like the limitations of the character.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to see what she does outside of that. And at this point, now it comes down to, you know, you've been on this massive franchise, and that's true for a lot of at least the young actors on that show. It's like, you've now done this thing. What do you do next? And I mean, there are some characters, some of the actors, they had careers before and they'll have careers after. But some of them were so young when they started and they haven't really done anything else.
Well, and this is, I think it's unfair for someone in the situation of Sophie Turner. And we were talking about Twilight. Who's the lead actor?
Kristen Stewart.
I think people shat on her unnecessarily because she was still like a fairly new actor who had found a great role for her to start with, but still hadn't quite got her acting thing down. Like, some of the stuff she's done recently has been really good.
Yep.
But it wasn't clear that, you know, some of her earlier choices for roles that worked for her were as good. And I kind of wonder if the, you know, Sophie Turner, I personally would cut her a lot of slack if this role doesn't quite work out for her, because she's still a relatively new actor who's had like one significant role and hasn't had a chance to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Though, I don't know, from all indications from the trailer, I think she looks like she's got it packed, but.
Yeah, I haven't watched a lot of trailers, so.
I think I may have watched more than one.
Wow, a lot of time on Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, let's move on. Also opening on the 7th, The Secret Life of Pets 2, from the directors of The Secret Life of Pets and the Despicable Me series. Looks cute. These are charming.
Yeah. If it's anything like, I actually broke down and watched the first one.
Oh, Secret Life of Pets.
After it came out on, I forget where, long after the movie had come out. It's pretty much a kid's format.
It totally is.
They don't do that great job of writing on multiple levels.
No, Illumination is very much like their target audience is kids, and they kind of stick there.
It's charming for what it is. So. Yeah,
they were just kind of fun.
Glad that, you know, there's a G-rated thing. I guess it's PG, but for the kids to go to, they can't make it into...
They're making their money, that's for sure. Also opening on the 7th, Late Night. This is Nishi Ganatra's new movies with Emma Thompson and Mindy Kaling. Emma Thompson playing a late night show host that brings in a young new writer to try to reach a new demographic, and craziness ensues.
I love the themes that this is dealing with. I have no idea. I don't want to, I mean, this one has me really interested, but I don't want to build up too high expectations. I have no idea.
I don't like Mindy Kaling.
I understand
that.
I've
said this before.
You have.
She kind of just rubs me the wrong way.
Her style, she's really hit and miss with me. Like literally I watched a whole bunch of episodes of her TV show.
Oh yeah.
And within a single episode, like I was enjoying the hell out of it, and then I was cringing, and then I was enjoying the hell out of it. It's, she just does that to me. So I like, that's part of my reservation with the movie, is she still seems to be playing kind of in character.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a little bit of Mary Sue going on, because she got her start writing for Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
Right. So
I think that certainly.
There's definitely, drawing on that experience for sure. Whether there's some,
I think
more
it
than
looks,
that.
I think it looks really charming, but for me, the hit or miss, the make or break is going to be Mindy Kaling, and just how, is she annoying or is she like sort of reined back enough that I can actually enjoy the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure yet.
And in the trailers that I've seen so far haven't really, I mean, they've told us the setup of the story. They haven't told us what kind of story it exactly wants to tell.
No,
so
exactly.
there's that too.
Also on the 7th, the Ron Howard Pavarotti documentary. Can I just say, so I watched this documentary, I'm like, oh my God, my parents are going to love this movie. So I showed my parents the trailer, and my mom's like, oh, that looks really good. My dad's like, he was such an asshole. Divorced his wife to marry a younger woman. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? This is usually like the opposite reaction from my parents. But I mean, I don't know. It looks like a really well-produced, well-put-together documentary. I'm fascinated because I grew up with Pavarotti in the house. So the three tenors, really.
I don't especially like opera, but I must admit I was interested in this story. So I don't know what to make of the movie.
Yeah.
If they don't have a lot of his singing in it, maybe I'll watch it. I know. What's the point?
No. I mean, everybody is different. I mean, he was certainly an interesting man.
Yeah.
And I mean, he had some ups and downs in his life for sure.
The trailer presents him in a very good light too. And I mean, Ron Howard doesn't do super negative movies.
No,
so this
is going to be very positive.
It could be very positive.
Yeah,
but. I hadn't known this other part of the backstory. So.
Oh yeah. So yeah, that was actually pretty amusing.
This will not be a critical documentary, I'm sure.
No, definitely not. Also on the 7th. Okay. This kind of came as a surprise to me, cause I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? And I watched the trailer and I was like, I really want to see this movie. So Papi Chulo starts Matt Bomer and Alejandro Patino, and Matt Bomer plays this guy who's going through a really tough breakup, maybe divorce. I'm not 100% sure. So he hires this guy. He drives around through the street where you pick up Mexican workers, I guess.
Yeah, he needs to have some work done
on his patio. So he brings this guy in, and the guy's like, oh, you know, it's going to take more than one day. I mean, you see it in the trailer. It's definitely not a full day's job, but it kind of turns into this like really unusual friendship of these two men that kind of find solace in each other. It was very, very charming. I was like, this looks really great.
It does look kind of, definitely look kind of sweet.
Oh, like, yeah. Sweet is definitely the term.
And
I really like Matt Bomer. I wish he was in better movies. Because I generally do like him. But he just isn't in a lot of movies that I like. This one actually looks like I might enjoy it.
I don't know what to make of this one either. Like, I'm really curious about the story, but just some of the way the dialogue was working with the guy not really understanding English and talking mostly Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
I could see that for me getting tiring really quick. Oh. I mean, you understand a bit of Spanish, so it's probably a different experience for you.
Yeah, because they came in and out of it, and that was fine. I didn't think anything of it, but I could see
how that would But I mean, that's part of the thing in the movie was this guy is so lonely and so looking for a connection that he's connecting with this guy that barely speaks English.
Yeah,
and he's pouring his heart out.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued.
Also, this one we've talked about in the past. I think this might have been pushed or whatever. This one's for the ladies, the documentary about the strip club.
I don't remember this one.
Yeah.
Maybe it was one of the times I missed.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it's a documentary about basically male strippers. It's kind of like...
Well, black male strippers.
Yeah, so it's basically like Magic Mike, but a documentary.
Except that, I mean, it's got a lot of specificity, right? It's not like all, it's like very oriented in the black community.
Yeah, and very specific to the location of where this club is.
Yeah. Too.
So I thought it looked really interesting at the time when we talked about it. I didn't realize that you hadn't been here. It might have been the one with Colleen. Yeah, so we have talked about this one before. Yeah. I have no idea. Hopefully it's finally coming out.
Yeah.
I was concerned then, and I'm concerned now about the rating. It is rated NC-17. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean I can't watch this on my phone on the train?
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay.
Which is always kind of fun. And for the record, I usually only watch like the 100 on the train in the morning, like, the day after it, like, because it airs on TV on like the Monday.
Yeah.
And then it lands on Netflix like at midnight. So I usually download it before I leave the house. And it's like my morning commute because I need to watch the 100. And I'm a week behind. So this is how bad it's been. Moving on to June the 14th, Men in Black International. Can I just say, I never in my life thought I would be interested in another Men in Black movie. And this one looks so fucking badass. I'm like, give me this movie today.
This looks fun.
It looks awesome fun.
So did you like the first one?
I liked the first one.
Yeah, 2 and 3 were shallow echoes.
I think I watched half of 2 and didn't even bother with the last one. I didn't even realize they'd made 3. But this one, I saw the trailer, I'm like, okay, this looks like legit fun.
Yep. Yep.
Plus, it's a really good cast.
And I just want to say that gag they did with her getting into the car thing.
Yes.
When I was in the UK, I had that. Well, actually, it was Ireland, but they drive on the other side of the road, too. Every single fucking time, even when I knew it's like, oh, I have to get on the other side.
Yes.
I still got it wrong.
I don't know.
I got feels when she's like, this is wrong.
It looks like a lot of fun and really.
It does.
Emma Thompson.
Oh, Emma Thompson's killing it. Like, she definitely the right vibe. The chemistry between her, between Hemsworth and Thompson is great.
She's pretty great.
She is definitely that role of the excited newcomer, has that dialed in based on the trailer. So, but I think, I mean, the other thing is in keeping with, as someone that was like really invested in the first Men in Black, it's a buddy film, but I mean, there's that particular kind of style of what the buddies are.
Yeah.
And they seem to have captured that. And Hemsworth isn't trying to, I mean, and that's why I like it. He isn't trying to channel the first movie.
Yeah, he's doing his own thing.
But he's created a version of the whole thing he's not trying to be Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't think anybody can be Tommy Lee
Jones. No. He was singular. He was amazing.
Agreed. So yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Also opening on the 14th, Shaft. Oh, because you can't say the name Shaft without doing Shaft.
And just the music is... Shaft. When that music came on, I still haven't seen the original blaxploitation movies.
Neither have I.
But I so know that theme song.
I mean, I think everybody knows that theme song. Even if you don't know what Shaft is, you know the theme song.
And I love that he's the second.
Yes.
Like, yes. What was his, Roundtree, was it? Like,
yeah, Richard Roundtree.
The original Shaft got his place in the movie. I love it when they do that.
Me too. So, I mean, I think this looks like it could be a lot of fun. I'm not quite sure if they've got the... As not a connoisseur of blaxploitation, I'm not sure if they've got the whole vibe, but it certainly looks like they're giving it a good go, and it looks like it could be a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, we have to hope that it isn't exactly blaxploitation.
That too.
But I
don't think you can have the character without playing into that a little bit.
True. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, taking the good parts of that.
Yeah.
There was a reason that the black community embraced...
Exactly.
Those movies.
Exactly.
And there was a lot of like great stuff in there. There was some bad stuff too.
Yes, yes. But I thought it looks like it could be a lot of fun.
It looks like a lot of fun. I'm not quite sure of the premise, but I'm definitely sold enough that I'm there.
I agree. Also opening on the 14th, The Dead Don't Die. This is Jim Jarmusch's new movie, which opened the Cannes Film Festival to mixed reviews. First vampires, now he's doing zombies.
Do we really need another zombie movie?
I don't know. This one looks like it could be fun, though.
I mean, the best thing about this movie was all the cameos. I don't know if they're technically cameos, but...
No.
All the different people I was seeing show up in there was...
Yeah, fun. I think some of them are cameos, but I think... I really like Adam Driver, and Bill Murray is kind of hit and miss for me, but...
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. It could be fun. I don't know. I really liked Only Lovers Left Alive, but then it kind of played into the whole vampire thing, which I'm a huge fan of anyways. And I did like the message of that movie. I don't know if this one has a message. From the trailer, it looks like it's just a zombie movie.
Have not seen it. So, and Jarmusch generally is more miss than hit for me. So I'm always a bit leery.
Yes, you and me both. Also on the 14th, American Woman, with Christina Hendricks and Sienna Miller. Christina Hendricks plays, I guess, a mother that takes over raising her grandson when her daughter goes missing. It looks like it could be really good.
Too many feels.
Oh, too many feels.
Too many feels.
Too many feels. I do.
It's Sienna Miller plays
the mother, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what role Christina Hendricks plays.
I wasn't sure either. I didn't spot her in the trailer.
No. I wonder if she's getting top billing because she's a known name, really.
Could be. Well, not like Sienna Miller's small potatoes, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it looked like it could be really good.
I mean, it looks like a, you
big
know...
big drama with a capital D.
Competent movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But those are not themes that I'm personally...
No, I mean, Jake Scott's made some good stuff. I mean, and he did Welcome to the Rileys a number of years ago now, but he certainly has made big D drama movies. This one I thought looked like it could work. Also on the 14th, The Last Man in San Francisco.
The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Oh, yes. Sorry. The Last Black Man in San Francisco. This trailer is like magical realism up the yin yang. I'm not 100% sure how I feel about that because that style of filmmaking doesn't always work for me because it's a little too smart. And I sometimes just completely miss the themes, to be completely honest.
I was confused by this trailer.
I don't really know what the movie is about. It seems to me like it's about this young man who wants to purchase this house in San Francisco that maybe belonged to his family or somebody in his family was involved with it. I don't know. It's about San Francisco and a house and a family.
Yeah.
That's what I made out of the trailer. That said, it looks beautiful. The trailer was really, really pretty. I mean, I would certainly give it a go. I probably wouldn't go to the theater to see it, but I'd certainly give it a go if it came on somewhere that I could actually easily get access to it.
It's true.
I think it looks very pretty.
The filming could have been sponsored by the San Francisco Tourism Board.
Yes. I never know. Maybe it was. Also on the 14th, Being Frank, are we mad at Jim Gaffigan or not? I can't remember if he's one of the comedians that's in the shit list or not.
I don't think so, but okay. I don't know.
I saw Jim Gaffigan once. Dan and I saw him at the Just for Laughs festival like 3 years ago, because he sometimes is really funny. He was on an off day that day. Yeah, it was kind of a depressing show. However, this looks like it could be fun. Jim Gaffigan plays this guy who is maybe has two families. And his kid finds
it. Not kid, maybe.
He does.
He has two families.
And the son from one of his families figures things out and starts basically like bribing him.
And then it goes beyond that somehow, which I don't know. Man, I'm not sure how I feel about this movie. I was totally not sold on the premise.
No.
Like having not seen anything. It's like, I don't give a shit about these kinds of double life movies, but having watched the trailer, it's like I was kind of laughing.
Yeah, it could work.
I might give this a chance. Agreed. I don't know.
Agreed. I'm on the fence, but also on the 14th, Hampstead, Diane Keaton and Brendan Gleeson, an American woman finds love with this dude that's basically like living in a shack in the middle of this swamp thing. I don't even know what it is.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not sure.
And of course, you know, things happen and he's about to lose his home and, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. It could work. It could not work. I have no idea. I like this cast.
It looks kind of delightful.
Delightful is the correct term.
And Brendan Gleeson, I love the accents. I just love hearing people talk with those accents.
he is a very charming.
I don't
give him that much.
This is one of those movies that when they work, I really love.
Agreed.
But they can go so wrong and just be so kind of like saccharine. So.
Agreed. And can I say I really like James Norton? Just putting it out there. Also opening on the 14th, the reports on Sarah and Salim. Now, I don't think this trailer was on IMDb. Did you watch the trailer?
I found a trailer on YouTube. Yeah,
I thought this looked really, really great. It's not, I mean, it's kind of the, I like this kind of thing anyways. I like these dramas that are, you know, more than just dramas. So you have a Palestinian man and an Israeli woman married to their own significant others, have an affair, they get discovered, but it's more about, it's not so much just about the fact they had an affair, but the politics.
It has nothing to do with the affair and the fact that they think that they're colluding
exactly
on some political terrorism thing.
I thought it looked really kind of fantastic.
You know, the premise, I really love the setup for this.
Yes.
I think this is maybe going too far into the drama for me. If this was more of a political intrigue, I might be interested.
Yeah.
But so I'm not sure what, if this is kind of movie for me, but definitely I think this looks like a really great story that we don't see a lot of. So if you're into these kinds of dramas, have a look at this one.
Also on the 14th, Back to the Fatherland. So this is kind of an interesting documentary.
I couldn't find an English trailer.
Okay, I did find one on, I think it was Vimeo. We'll link to it because it was kind of hidden. So the idea here, it's a documentary about these two individuals who actually moved back to Germany and Austria. The thing is that they're... they're Jewish, and their families can't figure out why on earth they would want to move back to these places that hold such bad memories.
Well, and their families were actually, members of the family were killed there.
Yeah, so it's certainly an interesting idea for a documentary. I would be curious to see, you know, how these individuals are making these decisions and why. I'm certainly curious.
I was curious too, but this is the kind of thing that... subtitles really like it's when you're trying to process people talking about those kinds of emotions, reading the subtitles and trying to listen to their voice and stuff, they can be like just hard on a logistic level to absorb.
Yeah. So we'll see. Moving on to the 21st, Toy Story 4. We have talked about this.
Big tent. Yeah.
Yeah. Big tent pole. Really, I think I mentioned it somewhere. Get me to watch a Toy Story movie, give me Keanu Reeves. I'm in. Sold. Instant sale. So I have no idea what's going on. The toys are back at it. That's all I know with Toy Story.
At this point with Toy Story, do you need to know any more than
it's the Toy Story franchise? I know there are toys, and I know Keanu Reeves is one of the toys, and he's a Canadian
toy. And the original voice actors are back.
So. Oh, yeah, pretty much everybody's back.
The interesting thing is now that, what's his name has left Pixar?
Lasseter.
Lasseter. To see if there's going to be any kind of a stylistic change. I mean, he had his name on literally every movie.
Yeah.
It's difficult to know just how much influence he had. Was he a star maker, or has he managed to impart the non-abusive skill sets to the staff, that kind of thing? But
He was there long enough that, you know, you figure that he couldn't have been completely involved in every single movie. So it will be interesting to see how they manage now that he's gone.
I mean, definitely in the early days, like, I think that's what really set Pixar apart was his sensibility of story. I actually saw him talk before he got famous, back when he did Tin Toy.
Oh, yeah.
It was in the Spike and Mike
stuff. Okay.
And he was guest star. And I was really impressed. I was really sad to hear that he was an asshole.
Well, they come in all shapes and sizes.
Yes, they do.
Also on the 21st, Child's Play.
Oh, really? Oh,
the drama around this movie makes me laugh so hard.
Oh, what's the backstory?
Oh, dude, Jennifer Tilly is like boycotting this movie because they didn't ask her back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
She was pissed and she let everybody know.
Wow.
Yeah, she went on a little Twitter tirade, which was hilarious to read. I think somebody must have asked her, what do you think of the new Child's Play? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm not in it. They didn't even ask. And it's kind of shocking to me because at this point, they've made so many. I don't even know how many they've made. She must have made like 4 or 5 of them. I don't even know. Like, I honestly don't know. But you think of Jennifer... I think of Child's Play and I think of Jennifer Tilly. She's as important to that franchise as Chucky is. And you're going to, like, cut her out of it? Honestly, I don't care. I never cared for this franchise. I never really understood what the deal is with it. I still don't care.
It's horror. I find those dolls creepy without a horror movie, so...
Well, so Chucky's back.
Chucky's back.
With Aubrey Plaza and Mark Hamill. So, hey, there's that.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know. They're trying to relaunch the franchise. And it's 2 hours long. 2 hours. I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's just move on from that. Them That Follow. I'm trying to think. Did I watch a trailer on this?
I read a description of it. I did not find a trailer.
Oh,
it's about that cult in Appalachia that let themselves get bit by poisonous snakes as part of the religious ceremony thing.
Oh, I didn't watch a trailer on this.
Yeah.
Sounds super interesting.
It really does sound interesting, but this is a dramatization, so it's not a documentary.
No, but I will say, so Britt Poulton, one of the co-directors, she co-directed this with Dan Madison. She also wrote Profile, which was the movie from, I want to say, last year or 2 years ago that Bekmambetov directed, which was about the reporter that was pretending to get... she was trying to get into one of the Syrians. She was trying to get recruited by the, it was really, really good. And she wrote that. This is her, I think that this might be her directorial debut.
And Olivia Colman's in it.
Yeah. Always in by me. I'm curious.
There was
curious.
One of these, I should have written it down. One of these movies that didn't have a trailer that I was trying to find stuff for. And I was really wondering if it hadn't been pushed. No, it was Limited Partners because it says 2020, but it says...
Oh, yeah. I actually took that, scratched that right off. And that's definitely not coming out.
Okay.
When they're saying it does. But that sounds really interesting. I didn't know anything about this cult. So now I'm going to have to read a little bit more.
I remember them making the news for obvious reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I'm not sure if it was... I mean, sect might actually be because they were Christian...
Okay, so...
But it was like a subset of... Okay. Yeah, so maybe sect is a better descriptor. But.
I don't know, man. Sounds more like cult to me. Just saying.
A little bit crazy.
Yeah. Also opening on the 21st, Toni Morrison's The Pieces I Am. Documentary about Toni Morrison. You're either into it or you're not.
I actually know very little about Toni Morrison, so the trailer was an education for me.
Yeah, so do I. I actually would like to see a documentary on Octavia Butler, of all people, because I think she's even more interesting, and people don't really talk about her at all. And I remember when I discovered her, I was like, what do you mean this exists? Because she's kind of something else. So, but I'm certainly curious as a reader.
You're going to make me go on a tangent, but I have to now.
No, go for it.
The woman that should be featured in a documentary that because nobody knows what an amazing story of her life is I forget what her actual name is. She wrote under James Tiptree Jr.
Oh, okay.
So she was an analyst for the CIA. One of the reasons that she wrote under a pseudonym, aside from she understood that women didn't sell, especially back then, was she didn't want to come back on the CIA, and then later she got a job with some bank. So she wanted to keep all of that part out of it.
Yeah.
She got kudos from, the name was just in my head and it's gone. Oh, damn it. Anyway, she got kudos from some really big name writers of the era.
Oh, wow.
For what amazing writing.
So what does she write? Like
hard science fiction. Well, I mean, back in the day when she was writing, like she was writing in the days of like the early Heinlein and Asimov that crew.
Yeah.
Hard science fiction was like, there was soft science fiction wasn't as much of a thing. I mean,
yeah, as it is
I
now.
Think Heinlein might have been the closest to
that you would come,
you know,
to
and the fantasy hadn't taken off yet. Like Lord of the Rings is credited with Tolkien, like in really making the fantasy take off. So it was a different era, but yeah. Why can't I remember his name? Cause the guy is such an asshole. Like he has a reputation for being an asshole, and he like sang her praises.
Oh,
I'm not sure that he knew how many people knew she was actually a woman.
Woman, yeah.
But yeah, this is like.
Oh yeah.
The more I read, like I had to go on Wikipedia, and I'm like, this would make an amazing documentary.
Oh yeah, see, things we need to know about.
Yep.
Moving on to, I think this is the end of the month.
Yep.
June 28th.
Another puppet movie.
Oh man,
Gone Wrong.
Annabelle Comes Home. This is now the third movie in the franchise. I cannot believe that there's been three of these.
You can't keep a good evil storyline down.
Apparently not.
Or maybe a bad one. I don't know.
But I mean, I think Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson have made the trek through all three of them. So you realize at some point I am going to watch these because I like both of those actors quite a bit.
Yeah.
But man, it's just crazy to me that they've made a third one. But there we go.
Here,
Annabelle Comes Home.
I'm trying to find the runtime because maybe it's not 120 minutes.
Oh, maybe not.
I can't.
It might be easier to take in.
If you need your puppet horror.
Also on the 28th, Danny Boyle returns with Yesterday. I'm a really shitty singer, people. If you hadn't figured this out yet, here you go now.
Oh, this one looks like a lot of fun.
It does look like a lot of fun. So basically, Hamish Patel stars as this young man who's loves the Beatles, is obsessed with the Beatles, wakes up one day.
Well,
and
he wants to be a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Is going nowhere.
Wakes up one day and the Beatles miraculously have never existed.
Well, there's an inciting incident, yes.
So he is singing Beatles songs and passing them on as his own.
The trailer's quite delightful.
It's very charming.
So.
And it is Danny Boyle. He's pretty great. I do like him quite a lot. Also on the 28th, Maiden, the documentary on Tracy Edwards, who I guess she led the first ever female crew to the world race, the
Whithead? Whitbread.
Whitbread round.
This is a big deal. I don't know if you've ever watched anything on the Whitbread.
No.
This is a crazy race.
Yeah.
Like,
it's sailing, right?
It's sailing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you basically, you sail around the world. It's like, I think 33,000 miles?
Holy shit.
Something. I don't remember numbers very well, but the, you literally you start from England and then you head around, you go under South America over to Australia. And the thing that stuck out for me the most about the race was when you're going around South America, there's not a lot of continental land down there, so the wind just screams through. They call it the Roaring Twenties because it's the 20th parallel. And the things these crew, like these boats aren't much more than RVs, first of all. They're chipping like ice off of the cabling and the sheets and the lines. So
do they get a break, like where they actually go on break?
They have lots of they have lots of stops, but it is a race, right? Yeah. So you stop, you reprovision, and you go.
So it's it's like a pit crew. The faster you're in and out, the better.
You know, I don't know. Probably. Like, I don't know that much detail about the race. I just know, like, from... I saw, it was a 20-minute documentary. It was going on, and they were featuring portions that's showing them, like, sailing in different places.
Yeah.
And it is a long haul. These are the big ships, so it's got a fairly large crew. You're in close quarters with people. They're all you're seeing on these things. It's like an RV, so it's like the food is what it is and all that. It is a grueling race.
I don't know. I thought the trailer looked kind of awesome, so.
The other thing, like in 1989, they would have been doing stellar navigation. Like, the GPS.
Yeah, that's right.
You had a radio. Maybe if you were fancy, you had some radio location stuff. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, man.
It was definitely like a race of note. Like anyone that finished it was really doing something big.
Wow. So now I want to see it even more.
Just the things that they were showing in the trailer were kind of delightful. Like, you know, when they're coming into port and there's like all these women and they cut to the guy going like there were all these, I don't know, he didn't call them women. They're like all these birds and they weren't there for us.
Mm-hmm. Also on the 28th, The Other Side of Heaven 2, Fire of Faith, about a missionary who goes to Tonga in the 1960s with his wife and family. Drama ensues.
It
is what it is.
Wow. I just totally had no interest in this story, but hey.
Me either. And closing off the month, Three Peaks. I thought this looked kind of great. So it's about a family that goes to the Italian Dolomites.
That's the way I pronounce it, yeah.
Yeah. So there, it's a gentleman and his girlfriend, and he's trying to, I guess they're about to get married, and he's trying to sort of befriend his girlfriend's son. And so it's like a trip of connections, and then something happens and the kid disappears. I thought it looked really, really great. I'm a little concerned this has been kicking around since 2017. I hope that means that, you know, we will get a chance to see it. Because I would totally see
it. It is foreign language, right?
Yes.
It's subtitled or not?
Well, see, I don't know. I think one of the characters must be either English or American or whatever, because some of it is in English.
I heard multiple language, yeah.
Yeah, so there is, I think, also the fact that you have these multiple languages at play. So I don't know what the languages are other than the fact one of them is English. I don't remember what the second one is, but I thought it looked...
German, I think.
Okay, I really liked this trailer.
It was a German production, if I remember right.
Yeah, I really, really like this trailer.
Too many feels. Too many feels.
And that's the month.
Italy, German production.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And the languages are German, French, and English.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
That's the month, but locally we have some stuff. The Van City is doing, I can't remember if it's part of, now I can't remember if this is the part of the whatever, but they're replaying. I'll just move on because I can't remember what I'm about to say. They're doing a series of films produced by or directed by females. And about women, so not just was that a bear? Now I'm all paranoid because Dan dropped this note on the table.
Holy crap.
Yeah, the note literally reads, a bear went into your dad's truck, which I guess explains why the dog was barking, because he usually doesn't bark unless it's stranger danger or a bear. So yeah, that happened. So she's doing a number of films about women or directed by women. So they're replaying Worlds of Ursula K. Le Guin. This was the documentary on Le Guin that played last year, playing for one day only, June 1st at 6:20
p.m. I still want to see that.
Me too. But June 1st, I think, is a Saturday.
Yes.
And yeah, we already have plans for that day. And I don't generally go downtown for the weekends if I can avoid it. Also screening is Blowing Up. This is Stephanie Wang Brielle's documentary. Now this movie is really, it's a really interesting documentary about a circuit court in, I want to say it's in New York, but it might be in Chicago because I can't remember off the top of my head. And it's a court that was specifically developed to deal with cases of prostitution. But the way that they handle the cases is way more human than you would have ever imagined. It's a fantastic documentary. Really, really good. Highly recommend that you have a chance to see it. You should. I think it might be streaming in the US somewhere on like one of the streaming sites. But if you have a chance to see it, Blowing Up is really good. We Will Stand Up. This is Tasha Hubbard's debut. It's a documentary about the murder of Colton Bushi. Which is kind of a very touchy subject in Canada, playing May 31st to June 5th. The AGM for Van City is taking place on June 5th, and they're following it with the screening of Be Natural, The Untold Story of Alice Guy Blaché, which I highly recommend. It's a really great documentary about this like little known French director who was around at the beginning of the moving picture and kind of transitioned. She was basically written out of history. And this is kind of like a rewriting of that history. So a really good documentary, highly recommended. Wild Nights with Emily. Don't know much about this one other than it stars Molly Shannon. I planned on looking at a trailer and then I totally forgot. Playing June 10th to the 12th. There Are No Fakes, a documentary about Norval Morisot, who is the first Indigenous Canadian artist to be taken seriously in Europe. Playing June 14th to the 20th. I thought that sounded kind of interesting. And then the Halston documentary is playing June 14th to June the 20th. Also at the Van City, they're doing this Rupture Festival. They started this, I want to say 2 years ago, and it's basically like as part of the VIF programming during the Festival of the Alt programming, which is like their late night horror selections. Some of these movies come out really early in the year, and by the time you get to VIF in September, they're kind of old news. So they introduced this it's kind of like this mini festival where they, for a couple of days, they play these movies that would generally fall into that category. But they're all stuff that opened really early in the year. So they're screening One Night Only of The Dead Don't Die. The thing with this screening is you can't buy a ticket. It's only playing the one day, June 6th at 7 p.m. And you get a ticket if you buy 3 tickets to any of the other screenings. So it's kind of like a quote unquote, you know, perk.
Bonus.
Yeah. And Aniara, which is a really interesting looking sci-fi movie about a group of people traveling to Mars, basically trying to colonize. I want to say it's German or Swedish. I don't remember. It looked really interesting. There's been a couple of trailers kicking around. We'll link to them. Playing June 6th at 9:15. And all of these are only playing the one day. The Art of Self-Defense. This is Riley Stern's new movie with Jesse Eisenberg and Alessandra Nivola, who I really, really like. Playing June 7th at 6:30. Harpoon, which is a horror comedy that takes place on a yacht. Playing June 7th at 10:45. In Fabric. This is Peter Strickland's new movie. He's very hit and miss for me. I have a feeling I'm probably going to skip this one because I'm just not that big of a fan. Playing at 6:30. Knife and Heart, Yan Gonzalez's movie, playing June 8th at 9 p.m. And All the Gods in the Sky. This is director. His name is Quarks. He's a French director. Sounds like it could be kind of interesting. Playing June 8th at 11 p.m. Okay, Terror Nullius. So I looked at who was starring in this thing and I'm like, okay, how is this possible? One of these people has been dead for at least a few years. So it's directed by Soda Jerk, which is, I guess, this group like this collective of people that like basically cut together stuff. So it's a, I'll read the description because I thought it was pretty interesting. The best Australian film of 2018 might just be a 54-minute mashup of almost every other other Aussie film ever made, including Fury Road, Picnic at Hanging Rock, to Please Like Me, and BMX Bandits. Remember BMX Bandits?
I do not.
Oh, dude, that is Nicole Kidman's first movie. And it's literally kids on BMXs. It's hilarious. It's gloriously 80s. It's quite something. So that's playing June 9th at 6:45. Nightmare Cinema, this is one of those... I've lost the word. Where you have multiple shorts that are packaged together as one thing. I don't remember the name of the word. I don't remember. Whatever. So this is a collection of short films by a number of director, like mostly horror directors, including Joel Dante, David Slade, and Ruei Kitamura. He's the Japanese director that's made like all those, I think, Hair and The Bed one. I don't know. I've seen one of these. I saw the David Slade short when he did a talk in Vancouver, and it was really, really interesting. I'm kind of curious. I would watch this if I had a chance to, though I most likely will not make the trip to see it at 8 p.m. on June the 9th, which is when it's playing. At the Cinematheque. Cinematheque has some good stuff coming up. High and Low, From Pulp to Poetry. You might actually really like this series. So it's a collection of films that are considered like classics that are adapted from pulp, like pulp books or pulp stories. So they've got High and Low, Akira Kurosawa, Stanley Kubrick's The Killing, Rene Clément's Purple Moon, Wim Wenders' The American Friend, Francis Truffaut's Shoot the Piano Player, and John Borman's Point Blank. I've only seen a couple of these. I would totally watch Point Blank again.
I don't think I've watched any of these.
Oh, really? Yeah, there's some really good stuff here. I really like Point Blank. I really like The Killing. I've never seen Shoot the Piano Player. I think it's the one on the list that, and Purple Moon. I've never seen either one of those. But the rest I've seen, and it's a really great little series. And that's playing starting in May and running right through to the end of July. June 6th to the 25th, a retrospective on Claire Denis, including 35 Rums, Chocolat, I Can't Sleep, Bastards, Lynn True's White Material, Let the Sunshine In, and Trouble Every Day. Lots of Binoche in that collection. Wayward Heroes, a survey of modern Icelandic cinema, running June 13th to the 28th. There is a plethora of movies playing as part of the series. The three that I've seen that I could recommend would be Children of Nature, Jar City, and Rams. But there's some really great looking stuff in that mix. The film club selection for this month is The Kid, the Charles Chaplin classic, playing June 16th at 11 a.m. And the Frames of Mind selection for this month is Good Neighbors. It's a documentary about a campaign in the Netherlands that was launched to help combat loneliness. I thought it sounded really interesting, actually. And moving over to the Rio Theater, Police Story and Police Story 2 playing as a double bill on June the 5th. Dario Argento's Deep Red playing June 7th at 11:30. This is the new 4K restoration that's been making the rounds. You can have your Suspiria fill on June the 13th with a back-to-back screening of Argento's Suspiria and the new Suspiria, both of which I really like, though I'm not quite sure if I could take them both in it, like back to back. That seems like a lot of like horror drama for one psyche to take in. Mandy playing June the 14th. This is Cosmatos' new movie, playing basically at midnight. The Last Crystal, new 4K restoration, playing June 21st at 11:30. Bertolucci's The Last Emperor, playing the 23rd at 8 p.m. I would actually be curious to watch that. I haven't seen that. God, I don't even remember the last time I saw The Last Emperor. It's been that long. So I'd be curious to see that on the big screen. It's been a very long time. And then wrapping it up, Purple Rain, 35th anniversary screening on June the 26th at 8 p.m.
Wow.
I know. That is the month. I feel like I've been talking for an hour. I'm sorry. Oh, that felt like the marathon.
That felt like a lot of local movies to go through.
Yes. Okay. So when I was on the Rio website, Stormy Daniels is coming to town.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
really? $65 for a ticket to see Stormy.
Oh, seriously?
What is she going to talk about?
Wow.
And you know, I mean, I had said to Dan, if it was like $15 or $20, I could see that you would get like the gawkers and the people that are there for other reasons. But at $65, you're going to get no gawkers. Like, I wouldn't spend that much money to gawk.
I guess, I mean, what kind of, is she doing, is it just a talk or is it a show or is it a movie and a talk? Or
I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that Stormy Daniels is just coming to town. So there you go, people. If you want to see her, she's coming.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much. Is that it? Is that it
for you? I have nothing else to talk about for movies.
All right. Well, we will leave it here. Come on by atcpod.ca. Check out links to all of the movies. We'll link to trailers and whatever else. And we will be back in a couple of weeks with the media spew for whatever month has just ended.
And you may hear more about the bear.
Oh, yeah. Do you see the bear? I don't know. I'm always curious. Yeah. So until next time.
We'll see you after the credits. All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.